this political coliseum, we slay the rising beast with the fateful sword of truth that transcends hypocrisy and censorship. It's time to unleash yourself from the tyrants of media propaganda on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. This is Unleashed, the Political News Hour.
This is Unleashed, the Political News Hour on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. I'm Chris Cordani. Follow me on X at ChrisCordani1. That's at ChrisCordani1. I know I like to call it Twitter sometimes, but it's X. Facebook, I'm there as well. Check me out there. We have a lot of fun on my page. And yes, we can go back and forth on a lot of things. We do politics, but we have some other fun there as well. Find me. Donald Trump rampaged through the Republican primary, taking no prisoners, while Joe Biden's taking plenty of political prisoners. I have Jonathan Mosley, who represented some of those on the latter side, who will talk with me later on in the program. But what have we learned from Super Tuesday? Donald Trump and Joe Biden have widened their leads, winning all but one contest that evening. Nikki Haley did narrowly defeat Donald Trump in Vermont, but really a very narrow victory, and she is out. She has decided to leave and not run for president, at least at this point. Yes, she says she's suspending the campaign, but it's not going to happen. The gap is too wide as far as delegates are concerned, and she is pretty much, in effect, out of there. Biden won all except for one of his as well, but he lost to some guy named Jason Palmer in American Samoa. I understand that that might not be such a huge victory, but this guy came out of nowhere. The man wasn't even running. Marianne Williamson couldn't even get delegates there. And yes, it was a 3-3 tie, but the votes went in Palmer's favor. 3-3 delegate tie, if you will. What does that mean for the Joe Biden campaign? Well, I'm not sure if it really means a lot. I just think it's hilarious that this guy from out of nowhere did take him down in a primary. It's like those uncommitted votes in Michigan. What it does say is there is enough people. There are enough people, I should say, who are saying Joe Biden's really not the guy I want here. But is it because they think he's too far to the left? Or is it because they think he's too far or not far enough to the left, like those protesters out there who are, did you hear them storm Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez about her not seeing what's happening in Gaza as a genocide? I thought I heard her say that several times, but it's fun to watch protesters swarm her after she's yapping on about how protesters are supposed to make people feel uncomfortable. This is the one who whines every time somebody comes back to her. But she's always the loudest person or cheering on the people who are bothering other people. Well, it's time to get a taste of some serious medicine, and you have it. On Nikki Haley, well, the death knell for her campaign was a long time ago, but she decided to try to stick it out and see where she went on Super Tuesday. Well, let's put it this way. If I remember correctly, Pat Robertson, when he ran, got more delegates and actually won a bigger state than Nikki Haley did. She did take Vermont by a slim margin, but Vermont is not really indicative of how the rest of the nation is going to vote anyway, as far as Republicans are concerned. She also wound up getting swampland Washington, D.C. earlier, so it might be an indication of Republicans' image of this woman, which she might want to change, although maybe she made her bed and she is going to have to sleep with the teddy bears there as well, those teddy bears known as swamp-filled money. But what does this really mean? It means that every effort that the left and even some on the within the Republican Party hierarchy, if you will, and yes, not much of the rank and file, but a lot of the middle management, some of the people who are like, well, he's taking us in the wrong direction, or we got to protect the swamp types. Yes, there are a lot of swamp types in that party as well. But it winds up that the Democrats, the Biden administration's lawfare against Donald Trump has really wound up to become free advertising for his campaign. Not only that, those on the right who are going against him have always been seen as swamp rats. And they are going, the Republicans, they're doing, I guess they're called rhinos by some people, but them and the neocons are looking bad, and the era of the neocons is over. It's done. They're going to have to face that. No matter what happened to Nikki Haley, though, the biggest loser, I would say, would be Barbara Lee out in California. Comrade Lee thought she could coast into the second place vote behind Adam Schiff to run for senator in California. This is the 77-year-old's last hurrah, I would suppose. Comrade Lee lost what would generally be a slam dunk for two top Democrats to run for California Senate as they have set it up. And it just didn't happen. In fact, she didn't even place third in a lot of these districts, these counties. This Katie Powell actually did better than her. But Barbara Lee was getting all sorts of attention as the second place or the front runner for second place, if you will. I guess that's how you have to put it. But baseball great Steve Harvey, a Republican, managed to finish second behind Adam Schiff. Now, is the path to victory going to be easy for Steve Garvey? No, it is not. But he does have name recognition. Adam Schiff is shifty, and he's probably going to run on his phony Russian collusion scam that he tried to run. And, of course, with the Eric the Charming Fella scam that he tried to run as well against Donald Trump, saying, I'm going to be the guy who can counter Donald. And maybe he is. I do give Steve Garvey a fighter's chance to win, A, because of name recognition. He is a hero to California as far as being a baseball player, and he makes a lot of sense. So that's going to be interesting. As we move on to foreign affairs, Anthony Blinken, if he's not the weakest Secretary of State we ever had, okay, maybe not as bad as John Kerry, okay? But I'm listening to this guy when he's talking to Qatar's prime minister, or talking with Qatar's prime minister to reporters. It was on March 5th, and the subject of the Houthi attacks came up. Blinken did not talk semi-tough like a John Kirby would have. He tried to appeal to the warm, fuzzy, humanity-loving side of these terrorists. Don't take my word for it. Take his.
A ship that they attacked has now sunk to the bottom, and the result of that is that there's a huge fuel slick from that ship. So that's creating a potential environmental disaster. At the same time, we've seen the Houthis attack ships that are bringing food, grains, to the people of Yemen, the very people that the Houthis purport to, in some fashion, represent. And of course, it's had a dramatic impact on shipping around the world. That's going to have an impact for a lot of people in higher food prices, energy prices. But in Yemen itself, in the region itself, environmental disaster and a huge impact on the ability to get food to people who so desperately need it in Yemen. So if the Houthis care at all about their own standing, their own reputation, the way in which they're seen by the world, they will stop these attacks and stop the terrible damage that it's doing to people in the region, people in Yemen, people around the world.
Now let's put that into perspective. Anthony Blinken is actually saying to the Houthi, well, if you're so worried about how you stand in the world and how the world looks at you, then you really should stop bombing ships and making a big mess in the Red Sea. Are you kidding me? Of course, this is the same administration which, out of spite against Donald Trump, decided, well, the Houthis aren't really terrorists. So let's take them off the terror watch list. And albeit too late, they put them back on. They actually seem to believe that the Houthi care as much about optics as the American left does. And that's really the most annoying thing about the American left. Anytime they criticize Donald Trump, it was mainly about optics. They always tried to make him look like a racist, or they always had to say, well, he said this mean thing and it looks bad and the rest of the world's watching he's really mean and he sounds like he's a bully. The rest of the world might need somebody to set them straight, somebody to tell them, hey, you guys aren't doing anything right. We need to make sure that we don't hear a peep out of ISIS or the Houthi or anything else. And yeah, we don't want to let Iran sponsor wars or sponsor attacks against the free world. We don't want to allow nations like Russia, who rolled into Crimea when Obama was president and rolled into Ukraine while Biden was president. You know, cats away, mice will play. That's how the old adage or phrase went, if you will. You might need somebody who doesn't care about optics. And that's where the future of politics should lie. Alas, our society is probably too weak to not worry about optics and how people will react and whether they can have a peaceful lunch with Justin Trudeau. So here we are with a Trump-Biden matchup for president. We might see John F. Kennedy Jr. in there. We'll talk about what kind of a factor he could be as we move towards the election. And I'm certainly not going to let French President Emmanuel Macron off the hook here. The man was talking tough recently. Yeah, imagine that, a French leader talking tough. When does that happen? I haven't seen that since Corporal LeBeau. That's a long story and a different one for a different day. The man threatens Western troops going to Ukraine. That's right. Not only does he threaten French troops going to Ukraine, but everybody else's around him. Threatening Putin by saying Western troops are going to go to Ukraine if this whole war keeps up. However, he walked it back just a little while ago, saying, oh, well, I was only saying that to see if I can move things along or try to scare Russia a little bit. And he said, I'm opening debate. Nice job, Emmanuel. That was one of the quickest French surrenders I'd ever seen. Straight ahead, though, we're going to go into something that's been happening under the radar, as there are still many January 6th Biden political prisoners still in jail, and now they're coming after independent journalists who dare question the government and inaccuracies within the investigation into the January 6th mostly peaceful protest. Lawyer Jonathan Mosley, who represented some of these political prisoners, will be with me to talk about it on Unleashed the Political News Hour. Get all of the articles, podcasts, and pertinent news, always the uncensored truth, from a team of truth seekers who always put God and country first. That's AmericaOutloud.news. Jonathan Mosley with me straight ahead. I'm Chris Cordani. You're listening to Unleashed, the Political News Hour on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/outloud or AmericaOutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. Cofix RX has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the Cofix RX banner on AmericaOutloud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, AmericaOutloud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
I'm so confused. I don't know what to do.
I'm afraid of going to the hospital.
My doctor tells me nutrition doesn't work.
Trust is earned. We are the Energetic Health Institute, and we want to earn your trust. Natural medicine, holistic nutrition, detoxification, fasting, cellular healing, and so much more. Remember, the best way to be free is to be healthy. So stop being a patient and start being a student at energetichealthinstitute.org.
You're listening to Unleash the Political News Hour on America Out Loud Talk Radio. Chris Cordani here. With me now on Unleashed is Jonathan Mosley. This is a man who has been working hard to defend those who stood up to the deep state on January 6, 2021, in exchange for defending people's constitutional rights, which is his job. Jonathan's name has been dragged through the proverbial mud and had been disbarred in attempts to discredit him for silly things, mind you. Still, it has not stopped him. Jonathan, welcome to Unleashed on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network.
Well, I'm glad to be here. I have had a desire to quit many times on this, but I can't. It's just too important, and we have to preserve the country we've got.
Right. And not too many people who are just trying to do their jobs have drawn as much leftist ire as you have, simply for just representing Oath Keepers, Proud Boys, and people who just wanted to ask the government a question on January 6th, 2021.
Right.
But it is fun to watch their head spin.
Well, there's both of that. There's, you know, a lot of lawyers are not ready to do this kind of work. They have a car accident. They cut a deal. They go out to lunch with opposing counsel. And it's just not part of what most lawyers do. It's going for the jugular and some of these big things. I was involved in politics before law. So this means a lot to me. And I think that's what people, I think that that's what the left is kind of recognized. And so I've been kind of behind the scenes lately, but involved my hands in a lot of things to make things happen, and including an amicus curiae brief on today's Colorado disqualification case. We did a lot of that work, but there's a tremendous need. I mean, one of the problems is that we just don't have enough lawyers for all these January 6 people. There, I think up to 1,300 and defendants. They're talking about going up to 2,000 people they're trying to identify. They, I think they may be discouraged if they start getting some losses, but all these people need lawyers. It's an extraordinary number of lawyers. We're getting beat up as the legal team just because of being outnumbered. And so much thing. Now there is a sense that the law here is in Alice in Wonderland world. I mean, this is through the looking glass. I have had liberal lawyers tell me it's like they have never seen anything like this. They're not conservatives. I have one guy, John Dan Hull, the first words out of his mouth when he called me was, "I do not agree with you on anything, but I believe in the due process, and this is wrong." And Carmen Hernandez there is an institution in the federal courts, and she's just flabbergasted that what's happening in these things is not normal. And so what we're seeing is a complete departure from everything that we would expect to happen in a case like any of these. it's like Barack Obama wanted to fundamentally transform America, and they've transformed the courts. So that's one of the big problems, is that things are completely different. I think you mentioned somebody off the air who had just been there. And one of the most amazing things is this idea with January 6th of collectivism. The courts have become, you know, one judge talks about a raindrops theory, that every raindrop contributes. So they'll say that like just being in the vicinity makes you part of the crime, which is outrageous. It's never been heard of before. Kristen Niemela, we in sentencing, we pushed back hard when I was working for the John Pierce law firm, and saying she cannot be punished for things that somebody else did. And the judge said, yes, that's right. She can only be punished for what she did. And she chose to join a mob. Like, what does that mean? I mean, do they get a card, you know, a membership card, or, you know, how do you join a mob? I mean, she was just there, and yet she was punished as if she did what a few of the worst people did. And this is a fundamental change.
It amazes me, though, speaking of the fundamental change, these same lefties who have historically celebrated those who defend serial killers and murderers. And yes, I do understand that everybody has the right, every American citizen, that is, has the right to a defense here. It's in the Constitution. But they also heralded Lynn Stewart, if you remember her. She's the one who allegedly transported terrorist communications with the blind sheik at Otisville Correctional. But someone who defends protesters, protesters not on the far left, that is, that like you, well, the pearl clutching is quite astounding.
Pearl clutching, yes. I love that. It is. And they haven't. And see, one of the things that keeps me going is that I think everybody who's up close to this realizes that the toothpaste is not going back in the tube. It, long after January 6th has been forgotten, these fundamental changes to our laws will still be hurting everybody. If somebody says, well, I was in Idaho, I was nowhere near the Capitol, it doesn't affect me. It's going to affect you because they're changing the way they're doing criminal prosecutions. They're being creative. You don't want a creative accountant and you don't want a creative prosecutor. They're just supposed to follow the law.
With me on Unleash the Political News Hour is Jonathan Mosley. He's defending many people involved who showed up and questioned the government on January 6th at the protest there. Now, should I say mostly peaceful protest? I'm sure it has a different definition now, but the fact is it was mostly peaceful.
Look, it's odd, but it's true.
Yes. Now, I have some good news, though, for some of the defendants is that a federal appeals court found that the Department of Justice wrongly lengthened some of the defendant's sentences. That's a good thing. People will be let out. That's going to affect a lot of cases. Is that not true, Jonathan?
Yes, and this is where this is one of many ways that things have been done differently. Andrew McCarthy, the famous lawyer, he estimates that the way they've been sentencing January 6 people is 400% more than a comparable ordinary defendant. And they've got all these tricks in the sentencing, and one of them was knocked out. So they're probably going to have to go back and resentence all those people affected, possibly retry them, give them another trial, depending on the details of exactly how it works out.
Another trial. I mean, these people have been through enough, haven't they?
They have, but the mood of the country has started to change. I think even the judges are starting to realize they were swept along with hysteria and emotion. They've gotten a little bit more reasonable. So I think some defendants might get a better shot if they had a chance to do it over again.
Now, in this case, Jonathan, the recent ruling about the lengthened sentences, Judge Patricia Mullett, she is an Obama appointee, wrote this in her opinion. I'm going to give you a quote, and I want to hear what you think about it. "We must apply the guideline as written, and Brock's interference with one stage of the Electoral College voting counting process, while no doubt endangering our democratic processes and temporarily derailing Congress's constitutional work, did not interfere with the administration of justice." And that's important. It was a protest. Some things happened. Some things went wrong with a very, very few people. And then there were people who were just let in. She's saying it didn't even have a problem or interfere with the administration of justice.
Right. And that's a major change, but it's only on the enhancement. But it's a beginning, and we'll take it. It's a beginning. A lawyer I've come to know and respect, Brad Geyer, has compared this to cult deprogramming. You have to get people, you have to get the DC swamp to rethink all these things. And so, what they've done is they've said that, out of the Capitol Police estimates about 10,000 people were around Capitol Hill, of which a few went off the rails. Now, A.J. Fisher, his timeline video shows that it didn't happen that way. They were attacked first, but the numbers are very small. And what they're arguing, but the judges say that the few who did bad things could not have gotten away with it without all the other people just standing there. So the people who were just standing there in the grass are as guilty as the people who were, banging on windows or doors because they somehow contributed. Now that is unheard of.
So what does that say about all the, in turn, what does it say about all those George Floyd protests where people were taking over buildings, burning neighborhood businesses down and beating people up?
No, it's and even after January 6th, we've had office buildings of the Congress taken over by mobs, violent mobs, and the Kavanaugh confirmation. And that's one of the things that in the upcoming issue about obstruction of justice, which is the next big step of after the Brock decision is, can they be liable at all? Is the fact that the government, the U.S. Department of Justice, has never treated this statute this way ever before or since. It's one thing to say, oh, we were wrong, but and judges don't like selective prosecution. All thinking people think that's really important, but except for judges. But the fact that the Department of Justice has never used this law this way should tell you, look, you don't really believe it because you're not doing it except when it's Trump supporters. So that's part of the interpretation argument that's coming up on April 16th, the oral argument.
Well, therein lies the proverbial rub. Basically, what we're saying, and I'm saying this right now, most of these people are in jail for daring to support Trump and daring to question the way the election was conducted this year. And a lot of these people aren't even challenging the results. They're just challenging how everything got done. They want to see why people were finagling with or blocking or stopping counting and starting again after Republicans were clearing out a certain state. There were a lot of shenanigans going on. Then of course there was the legal fortification, if you will, that the left was bragging about. Collective left was bragging about in Time magazine afterward. People were right to question these things. And look, even if they were wrong, the idea is you're allowed to question. I suppose if this was the other way around, there would be no prosecutions. There would be Donald Trump saying, well, we understand that I might have won this election and your guy lost, and you have the right to be out here and protest, even though some of you are kind of being annoying. And then that's what happens. You go back in there. It's weird, but this is the first time what we're looking at here is the left is trying to make protesting for anything aside from their narrative illegal.
Which does sound complicated because it's conditional upon what the message is, but they're definitely doing it. I mean, it's like they want conservatives to shut up. Think about this. Anyone who's convicted of a felony can't vote, can't have a gun. So they're tipping the elections that way as well. If people are convicted of things, and it's very problematic. What was I going to say? You were going to talk about you wanted to talk about Steve Baker a bit.
Well, let's get into that too. But first, before we get into Steve Baker, I want to ask you a question because you do represent people who are still being harassed and being prosecuted over this. There are a number of those are still rotting in jail over questioning the government. There are these people are political prisoners. Talk about this. Why are people still sitting in jail over this? I mean even some of those who would have done what they did on at a George Floyd protest would have had a slap on the wrist had it been that kind of thing.
Right. At the Kavanaugh protest, where they took over the Hart Senate office building completely floor to floor, bragged about it. But January 6th, people said, no, we didn't have a plan. We just went there to protest. The leftists, they proudly announced what they were going to do and did. And they were all, you know, lots of people were arrested. They were posted on a $50 bail, $50, let go within 5 hours. And then the cases were all dropped. And when they attacked the White House, they sued and the government paid the protesters who attacked the White House in early 2020. We were just talking about people tend to think, well, the government can't be this bad, can it? The courts can't really be this bad. And we keep losing because, unfortunately, yes, they are. And we're behind. We're always a few steps behind. They're still rotting in jail. A few of them, I mean, the numbers who are waiting to get to trial are dwindling, although they're still arresting more people. I think in the last month, they've arrested 100 people.
Well, they're running out of regular people, apparently. Jonathan Mosley is with me on Unleash the Political News Hour. This is interesting, okay? Now, they're running out of regular people to chuck in jail, so they decided to make another show. The DOJ, the Biden DOJ, has arrested journalist Steve Baker for, get this, reporting on inconsistencies about statements by people involved in the January 6th prosecution and actions surrounding what happened on that day. They arresting journalists for reporting what they don't want reported. This is Soviet-style politics.
It is. They have no self-awareness. But in this day and age, there's increasingly hundreds of people who are in the Capitol Hill January 6th who would style themselves as citizen journalists. They've got their own podcast. They've got informal things. Steve Baker is the first person the first person arrested who has impeccable journalistic credentials at the Blaze, Glenn Beck's organization. So there's been this whole issue of when is a journalist really a journalist? which is not something that the prosecutor should be figuring out, you know, in this context. But they've been very hostile to people who call themselves journalists. Says, well, you're not a real journalist. Well, who are you to say? That's under the First Amendment. But Brandon Straka was one who got caught, and he pled guilty for a little bit. He had a pretty good claim to being a legitimate journalist, and they've gone through this more and more. But there's plenty of real journalists who were in the Capitol for a very long time, and they've never been charged. This woman from France, the New Yorker. There's lots.
New Yorker. Yeah, it's funny. I've read the New Yorker the New Yorker, New York Magazine. A lot of the people who call themselves journalists are really more or less opinion bloggers at this point. But apparently it's the right opinion. If you have the wrong opinion or the wrong lean when you're reporting, all of a sudden it's verboten.
But like the New Yorker journalist, the government will use his reporting as evidence.
Yes.
They don't arrest him. But they arrested Steve Baker. It's interesting because Steve Baker meticulously covered many of the January 6th trials from the media overflow room. And everybody loves him, you know, on the right. I think he's got like about a dozen lawyers who all want to represent him. And they're thinking of like all doing it together to say, you know, no, you're not touching this guy. But they have arrested him. But the thing is, and I forget where I saw this analysis because things are happening so fast, but pretty much he is being, and there's always this element, he is being prosecuted for his speech. You exactly. Say, well, no, but because the problem with a lot of these things is that when you do certain things, in many cases, not all, it depends on why you did it. You know, so if you're driving your wife to the hospital to give birth, you know, that's different than if you, you know, just want to, you know, if you're driving drunk and you smash into the front of the hospital just because you're reckless. So a lot of these things come down to why did you do it? And so the speech becomes a big issue. But in his case, all he did was say some things, which frankly, I read between the lines, were just tough questions. You know, maybe in the nonsense, the noise and chaos, he didn't frame it well enough. But it would have been who was the guy who always was after Ronald Reagan? The CBS report.
Many of them were. Oh, Donaldson? Was it Sam Donaldson?
Yeah, Sam Donaldson. I mean, it could have been Sam Donaldson just hurling a difficult question like, are you going to use those weapons against the crowd?
You
could say that's taunting, harassing, whatever, or you could say that's just a tough question.
Yeah, the man asked tough questions, and you know what? They were answered. I didn't see Ronald Reagan thinking about throwing the guy in jail for asking a tough question.
Right.
Okay. And Sam Donaldson asked a lot of people tough questions. I remember him. Nailing Pat Robertson once during one set of primaries. I think it was like the 80. I forget which set of primaries that was, but I know he ran for president 1 year. My memory is getting to me on it. What really gets to me, though, before we hit the break, I watching Joe Biden talk and wax holier than thou about Vladimir Putin throwing people in jail for having different political opinions and persecuting reporters when this man is doing the exact same thing.
It is exactly the same thing. And I don't know, you know, some people might think it's gauche to go to the example of Navalny and these other things, but they're the ones who brought it up.
They're running on this. Right. I'll even go as far as saying Solzhenitsyn and Sakharov.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is Soviet style justice in America. From the man in lieu of a president.
I love that saying.
You can get all the articles, podcasts, and pertinent news, that is, always the uncensored truth from a team of truth seekers who always put God and country first. That's here on AmericaOutloud.news. I have Jonathan Mosley with me. I'm Chris Cordeni. Straight ahead, let's talk about the lawfare against Trump and some new happenings with that. This is Unleash the Political News Hour on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network.
Expert opinions, honest debate, and in-depth investigations are what you've come to expect from AmericaOutloud.news. We don't shy away from speaking the truth boldly and plainly. All that's missing is the propaganda that has infected legacy and social media. Get the best of down and dirty, wholesome American speak. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Clean, pure, with premium ingredients, Global Healing's pure plant protein offers 20 grams of protein per scoop. And it's the perfect way to maintain and build lean muscle while indulging yourself. It combines enzymes and probiotics to maximize nutrient absorption, improving digestion and your gut health. Available in vanilla and chocolate flavors, elevate your protein consumption while supporting your overall wellness with pure plant protein. Go to AmericaOutloud.shop and get 15% off using the code OUTLOUD. Global Healing. Giving you the power to take control of your health naturally.
ASEA believes that inside each of us is the potential to feel our very best. Our redox-based products tap into reserves within you to power your personal well-being. Make our breakthrough products an essential step in fulfilling your greatest potential. ASEA, we power potential. For exclusive savings, use code OUTLOUD to save 15% off your first order today.
In 2008, people could spend an average of 12 seconds on a task without becoming distracted. 5 years later, it was only 8 seconds. The digital age is narrowing our attention span. Trouble concentrating or recalling information is frustrating, embarrassing, and kills productivity. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created Focus and Recall to boost your brain power. And unlike other supplements that don't work, Focus and Recall is not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients to help you immediately sharpen focus, concentrate longer, and strengthen recall. These physician-formulated gels come in a small gel pack. Tear off the top, shoot it down. Thousands of five-star reviews proves it works. Supercharge your brain and see the difference. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
Chris Cordani here. This is Unleash, the political news hour on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. I have with me Jonathan Mosley. He's nice enough to stay a little extra time with me because things are happening on the Trump lawfare side, and I want to get his thoughts on it. Jonathan, let's go for it. This is important. It was a 9-0 unanimous decision. Both the liberal and conservative wings of the Supreme Court said Donald Trump should not be knocked off the ballot, and you cannot use the 14th Amendment to do so.
It's extraordinary. 9-0 is extraordinary. I listened to the entire oral argument. I helped write an amicus, friend of the court brief on this topic, and that it is stunning to get a 9-0 issue on this. They're saying that that individual states, this seemed to bother them in the oral argument a lot, individual states do not have the independent power to decide this federal constitutional requirement. So they talked about that Congress has the right. I don't think they mean that Congress is going to convene its own panel. I don't know what they had in mind, but Congress has to pass a statute. You can't have all these different states doing all these different things with different evidence. And that was, I think, their biggest sticking point was, whatever happens here, it has to be national. It has to be one common standard. And this shuts the whole thing down. Because of the way they decided the question, it's not just the Colorado thing. I think a lot of states were waiting in the wings to do this. It's gone. This whole thing about taking Trump off the ballot, there's no way for it to move forward now. And it is a very big deal. We've been reading the opinion, me and Trentis Evans at Condemned USA and other people, to try to discern what this means and what's going on. And it's interesting, during oral argument, there was a number of allusions to the fact that if we allow this on one side, the other side's going to do it too. I was surprised at the frankness of that. So, I mean, I think the 9-0 is partly because both wings of the court thought that this could affect, you know, everybody.
Right. I want to see people question the government. I don't care what side you're on. If you think something's wrong, I want to see you holding signs out there. I want to see you asking questions, even if I believe you're dead wrong. That's what the country's all about. What also happened here is you just can't sit here and say Donald Trump caused an insurrection. That's a big deal, because that's never been found. Donald Trump also, as we all know, was actually telling people to not be violent and to protest peacefully. That was cut out of the case as well, or some of these cases as well, as evidence. Just so overzealous leftist, I'm going to use the word think tank loosely, but I'll say activist tanks. Maybe that's probably
right.
A better term. We're trying very hard to use lawfare to go through every state possible and knock them off the ballot. The funny thing, Jonathan, I want to get to this beforehand. The funny thing is they still would have only knocked him off in blue states, where he never would have won in the first place.
I know that is it. But it creates a huge amount of publicity. Very negative publicity.
But the publicity, all that negative publicity is turned into free campaign advertising for Donald J. Trump. It's all backfired on them.
The left is crazy, but I wouldn't say they're smart. They do, you know, they seem to want to shoot themselves in the foot. They just can't help themselves.
But they know their base. And their base would be rabid, saying, "Oh, Orange Man has to get out. We hate the Orange Man. We should do what we have to do. Damn the Constitution. We should do what we have to do to get him out of there." The problem is, base counts for 30-40%. You're not going to impress that 2-3% that decide elections in swing states.
Right. But
And they're thinking this, and this is where you come in as well, Jonathan. You're defending people who are learning that if they can come after Donald Trump, they can come after you. As in the regular people.
Sad, but true. I mean, we've got pro-lifers, we've got Catholics. They're now making a war on Christian nationalism. I don't know what it means, and I'm sure they don't know either.
Yeah, they made that up.
But I think if anybody thinks they're only going to go after people who were on Capitol Hill on January 6th, I think they're not paying attention. This is just the beginning. And
right.
So that's why we've got to fight back, and we've got to stop it.
That's right.
So today they had they also went after the Select Committee. They didn't say it very explicitly, but from oral argument and from the friend of the corporation, including ours, I know that's what they were talking about. The Colorado trial had almost no witnesses. They just dropped the Select Committee report, which is totally flawed. And when they talk about hearsay, that's what they're referring to from the history of this case today, is that taking the Select Committee report is inadmissible hearsay. You take that away, you have no evidence of insurrection or any of these things, because the Select Committee was a joke. And so they talk about that too. There was also a lot of talk about whether or not the law that was passed in 1870, does Congress have to pass a law? Very technical stuff, but important. And it ended up changing the outcome.
I want to get into this. I believe they all knew that this was never going to fly in a real court. Okay. The idea is the whole January 6th kangaroo committee and everything else, the fact that it was televised and promoted and everything else and all of that was only to try to sway public opinion. The idea was to get that 2-3% in the swing states to remember all this by the time 2024 rolled around. The fact is, what's happening is they are going to remember all this, and they have seen what's happening. And it's bad for them now. They thought this would humiliate Trump. It's not working.
I think three things there. I think you're right about the first thing. I think that there will be a resurgence in the opposite direction for Trump. When these things don't work, I think there will be a surge of that would be the other way. But I think they did intend for it to be. I mean, part of the thing is it's very encouraging that the American people, at least now, I mean, I feel like since we've gotten to politics in the 80s, we were always trying to get people to pay attention. The American people have figured it out. They're not being fooled anymore. You know, we're at a point where if the left pulls some scam, nobody needs to explain it. Everybody gets it. And I've never seen this country in that hopeful position, I think, that they're just not fooling. They pulled the same trick too many times.
Here's what they also did, Jonathan. And again, I know this isn't the legal end, but this is the court of public opinion end, where for 4 years, the left, the politicians and the media on the left portrayed Donald Trump as a bully, as that boss that comes in and moves everything around and yells at everybody. And the mean tweets didn't help, but they portrayed him as a bully. Then after he loses the election, or after the election happens, if you will, you see the government turning around and using all the power they have to bully Donald Trump. So in effect, the left, the Biden administration, has become the bully. The three-letter agencies have become the bully. Trump turns into the bullied who finally had enough, stands up to them, and not only stands up to them for himself, but stands up to them for himself and all the little people who were being prosecuted on January from the January 6th protest. Those who are being silenced at work, those who are being bullied when it comes to college admissions, saying you can't do this, this, or this because you're this particular color or this particular background. These are people who are being bullied because they can't push forth or they can't get their promotion. They won't get hired for certain DEI type reasons, all because the bully government has come down on them. They see Trump as the guy who protected them in school and says, nope, if you're going to go through my friend here, you're going to have to go through me first. And that's what they see him as now. It all backfired on the left, who successfully portrayed Trump as the bully for 4 years.
That's a great image or idea at the end there, because that is the thing. But there's so much there that's very interesting about American society, because, you know, we do like the underdog, and for good reason. But as a Christian, I have to say, you almost can't explain it without, you know, God's hands, you know, pushing things around. But it is very interesting how all these things play on American society. And I believe that Joe Biden has always been a bully. I helped a friend run for Senate in out of Delaware. Got to know the Biden family a little bit. I mean, not nearly as much as she does, but he's always, you know, he's so used to everybody loving him that if he gets any criticism, he snaps. He's always been nasty.
Really? Really? Yeah. Oh, do tell. I have to hear some of this stuff.
Oh, it's just, I don't think Joe Biden has had an original thought since 1973, because he's would a be politician. Shuttled around.
Hmm? He's a politician. Most of them really haven't.
No, but he's been shuffled around from one reception to another, where it's his little state and he's like royalty and everybody just loves to hear whatever he has to say. So he'll go in one room, one hotel auditorium, and say something and everybody loves him. And he'll go to the next one and say the opposite and everybody loves him. And so he's just used to being, you know, he's lives for applause. So if anybody questions him, he can't handle it. And now he's got the dementia, which adds to that, but he's always been that way. He's always been he just cannot handle not being adored.
Well, people don't realize this, or they don't remember this, but he was rejected for president 4 times by his own party. I mean, this has just happened very often. The only reason he's even sniffing the presidency is because of Obama's coattails at this point. I mean, nobody else would have cared.
I don't understand.
Now, I also say, and I've said this before, I want to run this by you. By the way, Jonathan Mosley is my guest here on Unleash the Political News Hour. I don't think Joe Biden's an idiot. I do consider him the man in lieu of a president, but the man made a very smart move when he was running. He decided that he made it so there was no way he would ever be impeached, assassinated, or kicked out of office for any reason by hiring Kamala the Cackler Harris as his vice president. Look, the idea is you should hire somebody who can be president, unless you're an incompetent fool and you don't want the backup quarterback, you know, the most popular person on any NFL team. You don't want that backup quarterback to be chanted for by your own people. This way, if you have Curtis Painter in the back there, you got to just push that starter out there and just tape him up and hopefully do what you can to prop him up until the 2024's election rolls around. That's what's going to happen.
Well, it certainly worked out that way. I mean, he doesn't. I mean, I don't know if my father died, I don't know, of or with one of the varieties of dementia. And so we studied a lot as a family. But I don't know if he's having lucid moments, but sometimes he comes across pretty damn smart. And other times it's like he's not there.
Oh, clever and smart are two different things. And that's another
yes.
thing. He's a clever politician. The man knows he's yeah. a survivor, as a matter of fact. That's another thing.
Survivor. He's
right.
a survivor.
Exactly true. I do want to go through a couple more things. Donald Trump this week, obviously, when he was celebrating, he took his victory lap over the unanimous Supreme Court decision. He also took some time to swipe at the other cases, swipe at the judge, Engoron, who now has his own harassing women troubles in a gym. You also have Letitia James, who's still pushing victory laps over this one decision that's probably going to be overturned. A lot of what's happening to him is going to just, it's basically there to occupy him. But the fact is, how much real legal ground do any of these cases have? You're a lawyer, Jonathan. I'm not.
Well, they don't have any. But I've been told by people for over 30 years that I passed the New York bar a long time ago, but I never used it. But that the New York courts are just really crazy. They're nuts. And so I worry about the appeals courts. And I mean, I haven't personally experienced that, but I don't have a lot of confidence that, you know, what's going to happen. But under the law, they don't. Now, one of the things people don't understand, because it shocks the conscience, it's crazy, is that if you, let's say you get sued for not shoveling your driveway of snow or something like that, and you have $1,000, you know, you lose $1,000, you say, well, this is wrong, I want to appeal it. The courts will say you have to put the money on deposit, $1,000. Most people have never heard of that. That sounds insane. It is insane. And one of the reasons it's crazy is because let's say you go on appeal and you lose your appeal. It's no different than before your appeal. If you owed $1,000 before the appeal, you still owe it after, maybe some interest. So why go through this nonsense? It's completely crazy. So they want him to put up with interest and project things, you know, $440 million or something like that, as before he can even test the legal validity of the decision against him. That's wrong. You should not be unable to get an appeal without putting up any money, much less that kind of money. Now, there are some things that he needs to do that the appeal court has already said no, but he can borrow money. They changed it. So they said, okay, we'll let you borrow money to defend, which is interesting because if he borrows money against the value of the real estate that Judge Engoron said is not worth very much, and the free market says it's worth a lot, that would kind of prove the whole case wrong. But there's another thing that kind of came out of Jonathan Turley's argument is because they could have brought this as a criminal case, but then they'd have a higher burden of proof. They have to do all these things. And governments can bring civil cases for a fine. But there's never been a case where there's no injury. And I don't know if you followed how standing plays a role in all these things. I think Trump's lawyers need to look into if it's a civil case and nobody was injured, how is there any standing to bring this civil case?
And again, court of public opinion. That's all it is. It's about swaying. It's about the failed attempt now to sway public opinion against Donald Trump.
Right.
But your question now has an answer. Enter E. Jean Carroll. Now, Stormy Davis is not by any means a victim, but E. Jean Carroll claims to be one. And now what the left is trying to do is garner sympathy from somebody of that upper elite class, by the way, which never was going to happen. See, that's the thing. Donald Trump doesn't have what's her name? Miss Flowers. Gerald, was it Jennifer Flowers or Paula Jones to that his political opponents can say, well, he took advantage of this person. They're trying to troll in this abject elite anyway, E. Jean Carroll, who, by the way, was famous at the time she said what happened, and tries to play the victim card when there are just so many holes in this story that it just bothers me, not only in a legal, but on a whole observational perspective. But they just wanted to bring a victim out there, somebody who supposedly Trump affected.
I mean, when I used to work for Judicial Watch when I came out of law school, and then worked for Larry Klayman, the founder, in other pursuits that he did. And he would always sue people for defamation. And we'd always get motions to dismiss, which means, like, here, John, you do this. And I don't know how anybody can lose a defamation case. I don't get it. So if this were not in New York, you know, if this were in a fair jurisdiction, I don't see how it could possibly survive appeal. But the problem is he's got to put up probably $90 million as a bond, and he's got to go through it. I mean, for example, she sued twice, right? She sued and got like what, $5-10 million, I forget. And then a few months later, she sued again and got $83 million. Now, what happened in those months? How could she have lost more money, $83 million money, between those two trials, a few months apart? That's insane. I mean, you're supposed to be compensated.
Well, the idea is defamation, because Donald Trump does get himself in trouble by talking too much. And I think they wanted to trap him, which they did. They trapped him. Again, this will likely be, I'm not even a lawyer, and I think this will be thrown away. I do want to say, for the latest health resources and product innovations, you may well enhance your life with using the code OUTLOUD at our America Out Loud shop. That's at AmericaOutLoud.shop. Get special discounts for our America Out Loud family. Once again, use the code OUTLOUD. Check it out. Once again, Jonathan Mosley, I hate to say we're out of time. We should do this again and talk more as this news progresses.
Yeah, there's always another day.
I want to thank you for coming on with us, though, and we would love to have you once again. Like I just said, this is Chris Cordani here, and I want you to spread the news on America Out Loud with all these great news, these shows, the podcasts, and, of course, the live radio. You have the articles, and be active patriots. Make a difference. Talk to your friends. Spread the word and tell them what's really going on. Again, Jonathan Mosley, thank you for being with me. I'm Chris Cordani. Thank you for listening to Unleashed, the Political News Hour on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. Let's unleash the truth.